Good morning.
Good morning.
In the way of announcements, Christmas and Earl practice this evening at 5:30. If you have a part, come on out. If you don't have a part, come on out. I'm sure they'll find you one. This week in Advent is we'd like the candle of peace as Charles and Tricia Nichols come up to do that. It's also known as the Bethlehem candle, and it signifies Mary's and Joseph's journey to Bethlehem. Sometimes the second week's candle is used to symbolize faith. The peace candle symbolizes the peace that Jesus Christ brings to the world. It represents the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies of a Messiah who would be the Prince of Peace. It reminds us that through the birth of Jesus, humanity can find reconciliation with God and experience true inner peace. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Luke 2:14 says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Let's pray. Gracious God, as we light the second candle of this Advent wreath, we seek your peace. In a world filled with turmoil, may the light of this candle remind us of the peace that only you can bring. Help us to be the instruments of your peace in our homes, communities, and the world. And God, I pray that our worship this morning would be pleasing to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Over the skies of Bethlehem appeared a star. While angels sing to lowly shepherds, three wise men seeking truth traveled from afar, hoping to find the child from heaven. Falling on their knees, they bow before the humble Prince of Peace. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves Jesus, we receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering.
The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love.
Have you had a good morning already? Amen. Every day is a good day when you're in the house of the Lord. Amen. We're glad that you're here and glad you're here online. If you're watching online, welcome. We're glad that you're here as well, too. We started a series last week on the names of God, or the names of Jesus, as found in Isaiah chapter 9. And the names and titles of God, when you think about it, they reveal the character. They reveals who He is and gives us insight into who He is and how He works in and through our lives. And among these titles that we looked at last week, today we're going to look at the title Mighty God in Isaiah chapter 6. It stands out as a great description, doesn't it, of His power and His strength and being Almighty God, the Creator of all things, in power and in charge of everything. If you will, read with me Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. It gives us the basis for our message today. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." What does it mean to be mighty God? That can go in a lot of different ways, can't it? I mean, He is mighty over everything. He is all-powerful. There's nothing more powerful than God. To help us to understand this, we're going to focus on Isaiah chapter 9, but also we're going to look at Judges chapter 6. If you want to turn over to that chapter and make a brief reference to chapter 7. But there we find in those two passages, particularly in Judges chapter 6, where God demonstrates His might in life to an unlikely hero, to somebody that you really wouldn't, and when you begin seeing his story, realize that why would this be a hero? Why would God choose to show His might through this person? And together these passages show us that Mighty God is just not just a title, but a reality that we can trust in all circumstances in life, because He is Mighty God. And because He is Mighty God, we can trust Him with anything and everything that comes our way in life. Again, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, Isaiah declares that the child is born as the Messiah. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And this prophecy speaks of Jesus Christ as the one who embodies these divine powers and authority over everything in creation. The term Mighty God comes from the Hebrew word El Gabor, and it conveys the image of a victorious warrior. A victorious warrior who's not only strong but also actively fighting for his people. So it's not just somebody out there for his own purposes, but he's fighting for his people. God is fighting for his children. God, in essence, then, is fighting for us in all of our life situations when we surrender to him. Amen? And this title, Mighty God, finds fulfillment in Jesus, who displays that might throughout his ministry. We see his power unveiled in a number of different ways. For example, in Mark chapter 4, verse 39, Jesus calms the raging storm. Think about it. You know, he demonstrates his authority over nature and creation. He tells the storm to quiet, to be still. And what happens? The storm goes away. The storm becomes still. The rough waters become smooth. In John chapter 11, verse 43, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, showing his power over life and death. That's the God that we serve. That, my friend, is a mighty God. And these acts reveal that Jesus is a mighty God who reigns over both with power and compassion. He had compassion on Mary and Martha as their son was dead in the tomb. He had compassion on Lazarus by raising him from the dead. He had strength to control the powers of the storm. As mighty God, Jesus offers us comfort and assurance in life. When we're having those difficult days, when the dark clouds surround us, when it seems like that we are walking through the valley of death ourselves, God is there to be comfort, to be our comfort, to be our refuge, to be our strength. His strength is a refuge for those who trust in Him, and His might ensures victory over every challenge in life. Almighty God is walking with you through your troubles. Almighty God is walking with you through the difficulties of life. Regardless of what challenges we face, God is there. Another example is Jesus' victory over temptation. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus demonstrates power over when Satan tempts him in the desert, in the wilderness. Unlike Adam and Israel who faltered under temptation, Jesus prevailed. And he prevailed by standing on the Word of God, by claiming the Word of God. An example for us and our need to stand on the Word of God and be faithful to the Word. This victory seems like it reveals to us that as mighty God, Jesus is strength, gives us strength to overcome and equip us for whatever comes our way. For whatever challenges, whatever times of darkness in your life, He gives us the strength and equips us to do exactly as He did in overcoming, because He gives us His strength. He gives us His power. And then you have Jesus on the cross and the resurrection. Nowhere is the might and the power of Jesus more demonstrated than His work on the cross and His resurrection. And by willing to endure death, by willing to give His life, by willing to hang on the tree, by willingness to shed His blood. You see, you can't have the Christmas story without the Easter story. You can't have the Christmas manger without the Easter cross and the empty tomb of Easter. You can have the manger, but it means nothing if you don't have the cross. And vice versa, the cross comes as a result of a perfect child that was born, that lived a sinless life. And so you have to have both of them to understand the full gospel, the full story of Jesus. And so his giving a willingness to endure the cross and rising to victory and conquering sin, death, and the grave, it gives us the knowledge that He is all-powerful. He is the mighty God. And so that power shows us that there's nothing in this world, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There's nothing that can separate us from God Himself. He says that He clenches us in His hand and nothing can undo His grip on our heart. Amen? I like to play that game sometimes with my grandkids. I can't do it with my kids because they can probably beat me now. But you know, when you hold something in your hand and they try to open your hand and you get it about open and you close it and open it, you know, and they try to open it and they never can get it open. That's what I think about when it says that God has us in His grasp. Satan might try, but he'll never be able to open the hand of God. He'll never be able to take us from the grasp of God. Amen. Praise God this morning. If you don't take anything else away this morning, take away that. There is nothing in this world that can take you from the hand of God, from the clutch of God. That once you are His, you are His. And nothing and nobody can take you from God. Praise the Lord. When we turn over to Judges chapter 6, we see another example of a mighty God there, the story of Gideon in Judges chapter 6. And he gives us a vivid picture of how God's mighty power works through the human weakness, through our inability to be self-sufficient, and for us, the inability for us to be all-powerful. You see, when we first meet Gideon there, he's in the threshing floor, threshing wheat in the wine press, hiding from the Midianites. He's hiding because they had oppressed Israel. And so he's kind of cowered in there, secluded in a way. And notice what happens in Judges chapter 6, verse 12. How many of you kind of get in a bad place every now and then? I do. Do we all sometimes start feeling sorry for ourselves sometimes? Do we all kind of get down in a dump sometimes? I think we all do, don't we? And sometimes do we think, what's the point? What is God really going to do with me? How is God going to use me? I mean, I know myself. I know my thoughts. I know my habits. I know what I can do. I know what I can't do. How is God going to use this? Have you ever been there? Maybe that's the way Gideon was feeling at that point. In Judges chapter 6, verse 12, it says, when an angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you. Now that's encouraging, isn't it? To hear somebody say, the Lord is with you. It doesn't matter what you're going through, what you're in the midst of, how bad it is, the Lord is with you. But look what happens. He doesn't see Gideon for who he is. He goes on to say, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. He calls this Gideon, who's kind of secluded back and refrained, he doesn't call him a little wimpy boy over here. He calls him a mighty warrior. You see, this declaration reveals that God's ability to see not just who we are, but who we can become. God doesn't just look at who we are now. He sees our potential and what we can become when we're empowered with His strength. You see, only God knows our full potential. Only God knows what we're capable of. And when we're in Christ, our possibilities are endless. We don't know the potential that we have. I heard somebody a while back, and I don't remember exactly what they were talking about, but they said, yeah, I can do anything for a day. And you break that down, I can do anything for an hour. You know? And so you get up in the morning, no matter what the day is ahead, hey, I can conquer the next hour. You know, I can do the next half day. I can do this day. And so God says, look, this is where you are, but this is where I want to take you to. And He says, get in. Yeah, you're here on the threshing wheat in the wine press, but you are a mighty warrior. Folks, again, your possibilities are endless when you're in Christ, when we're surrendered to the fullness and goodness and graciousness of Christ. Don't ever forget that. Let nobody look down upon you because you are somebody in the eyes of Christ. You are special. And to think that God created you, He put you together. And I can't wait to see this little grandchild of mine that He's put together in Caroline's womb and what she's going to look like. and what she's going to become and how God is going to use her. You see, we were all in that same place at one point in time. And God put us in our mother's womb for a purpose. And He brought us about because He has a plan for all of us. Regardless of where you are, whatever stage of life you're in, whether you're a youth, whether you're in mid-career, or in your retirement, God has a plan for you. Because the moment He doesn't have a plan for you, He takes you on home. Amen. And your work on earth is done. So, if you want to hang around here for a while, we need to find out what our job is here, what God wants us to do here. Amen. But He calls him a mighty warrior. And despite Gideon's doubts and his feeling inadequate, he decides to obey God's call. He decides to obey what God wants him to do. And then what God wants him to do is crazy in today's world, in the world's eyes. Chapter 7 goes on to tell us that God delivered Israel from the Midianites with only 300 soldiers. Oh, and these soldiers, they were armed up good. They were fit for battle. They were ready to go. And they were loaded down with what? Trumpets and torches. Hello? But Gideon, you're a mighty warrior. Yeah, God, and you're going to give me trumpets and torches? But he was obedient. And in his obedience, he became a mighty warrior that conquered and was a conqueror for Israel. And this demonstrates that God's power is not limited by our human resources. How often do we say, oh God, I can't do this because, or I don't have this, or I need this, or... See, God's not limited by that. He can take trumpets and torches and win a battle. Gideon's story teaches us that mighty God not only fights for us, but also works through us. And equips us for the purposes for which He's planned for us. And just as Gideon learned to trust in God's strength rather than his own, that's what we have to do. It's not to rely to say, well, I can't do it because I don't have this. We have to step out in faith and say, God, I'm trusting you. You called me to this, and I know if you called me, if it's real from you, God, you will provide all that I need. And your plan will be victorious. Amen. You see, when we feel inadequate or overwhelmed, we can be encouraged by the truth of God's, that God's power is made perfect in our weakness. He gives us the strength that we need. Another example of the mighty God we serve in Judges chapter 6 is when Gideon tests God's promise. And Gideon's request for a sign with the fleece shows his hesitation and doubt, but it also highlights God's patience and willingness to reassure His people. How many of you have ever said, Lord, just give me a sign? Okay? I'm not alone in that boat, am I? In Judges chapter 6, we find Gideon doing the same thing in verse 36 through 40. It says, Gideon told God, if you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. And if there is dew only on the fleece, and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said. And that's what happened. And Gideon rose early the next day, and he squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. You would think that would probably be enough. Well, God, I just need another sign. I think that was from you, but God, just showed me again. Then Gideon said to God, don't be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow one more test with the fleece, but this time make the fleece dry and let the ground be covered with dew. That night, God did so. And only the fleece was dry and the ground was covered with dew. God's response in that case shows us that that He's a mighty God and a wonderful God filled with amazing grace, a patient God. Because He knows our limitations. He knows our mind. He put it in there, hello? Now watch this. Even when we question His promises, He remains faithful. Even when we question His promises, He remains faithful and able to accomplish His purposes through us. Praise God. Before leading Israel into battle, Gideon is commanded by God to tear down his father's idols, his altars to Baal, and build an altar to the Lord. This act of obedience, it was kind of risky, but it shows that God's might working through Gideon to confront the idolatry of the land, to confront the sin that was going on, and to reclaim the worship of Himself. And when we see that, it reminds us that our mighty God empowers us to stand boldly, to stand up against the sin and idolatry in this world, to stand up and to stand firm against the sin in our own lives. Because He is an all-powerful God. That mighty God, the same one we've looked at in Isaiah and Judges and in the New Testament, that same mighty God is alive in our life today. The same God who fought for Israel, empowered Gideon, is still at work in this world today, in this place today. His might is evident in countless ways through answered prayer and miraculous healings and transform lives. We see His work everywhere. We consider the Apostle Paul. He was radically changed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mighty God changed him. Once a persecutor of the church, it was killing Christians, soon became a tireless servant of Christ. To write, I can do all things through Christ. Not I can do all things through me, which he was doing before. But I could do all things through Christ. In our own lives, we experience the power of a mighty God when we experience peace in the midst of chaos, or courage in the face of fear, or victory over sin. These aren't merely coincidences that happen, but it's evidence of God's mighty work in our life. And so many times in our world today, we want to say, what a coincidence. When we should be saying, oh wow, look what God did. It's a difference of perspective. Trusting a mighty God means leaning on Him and His power and not on our power. It means turning to Him in prayer and seeking His guidance and believing that He is able to do immeasurably more than we could think or imagine. And so in Isaiah chapter 9 and Judges chapter 6, it reminds us that this mighty God is just not just a title, but a reality that we can experience in our life. The reality of a mighty God working through the circumstances of our life. He fights for us. He empowers us. He works through us to accomplish His purposes. And so as we reflect on those on those truths, I pray that we'll find comfort. I pray that we'll find courage and confidence in this unmatched strength, this asset that we have in a mighty God that we serve. And so let's worship Him and trust in the mighty God who is our refuge, who is our strength, who is our help in times of trouble. Trust Him to be our strength and our refuge and our guide and our source of victory. When we're feeling small and puny, be reminded it is God's strength and power that makes us His child, and we are His, serving Him. And may this God, mighty God, reign in our lives every day. May we not cower in fear or ashamed of the gospel, but stand boldly and proudly and proclaim His greatness to the desperate world that needs Him. And let the world see that here I am a child of God. I'm standing on the Word of God and claiming the Word of God in my life, in this time, in this world. I'm claiming the name of God, this mighty God, in my life today. And are we proclaiming the name of God to the world in this Christmas season? Only you can answer that. But that's my challenge to you today. That we recognize God as the mighty God that we serve. That we don't cower from anything or anybody, but we stand boldly in the faith, knowing that we serve a wonderful Counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Let's pray together. God, You are so, so good and a mighty God. You are our wonderful Counselor. You are the everlasting Father. You are the Prince of Peace who gives us peace in the midst of the storm. You are the mighty God that gives us the strength and the power we need to overcome life, the challenges of life. And as You called Gideon and in his point of life, You called him a mighty warrior. And Father, help us to search our hearts and to know in our heart what You've called us to be, what You've created us to be, the plans that You have for us. Lord, let us find them and be about living those plans out for You. Glorifying You in every aspect of our life. Thank You, Father, for the Christmas season. Thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus, who makes salvation possible. For it's in His name that we pray this morning. Amen.